You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that.
Who gives a f***?
Why aren't you at work?
Because I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Final half hour of Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance of winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net. Your first entry is free. It's Brian Hayes, Craig Button, the O-Dog Jeff O'Neill, Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, Yes Guy in studio. Speaking of Yes Guy, the pregame at 6:30 with Jim Taddy and Greg Gilbert. Right here on TSN 1050. What's up, Dregs?
I got the Sens and the Hurricanes tonight. That's Hockey with Gino Retta.
Nice.
Celebrating his 42nd year at TSN.
Is that real news or fake
news? No, I don't know.
How many years has Gino been here?
I think he was entry level.
I think he was an original.
Like 30
he's
plus.
He's a little bit like Pat Brisson. I think he was actually washing and polishing, you know, somebody's car in the parking lot of the good old days here at CTV.
And he was cleaning Vic Router's shoes.
He's got that deep voice, right?
So all
you'd have to do. And he, you know, he's an outgoing guy.
A lot of like Landsberg's a day oneer. Michael is one of like six employees who was here day one. It's my understanding.
Yeah.
Vic Router's been here. Rod Smith, our guy.
Vic Router's in Vegas doing curling right now.
He owns curling.
I'm like,
owns it.
How the hell does a curling event end up in Vegas and Vic Router gets that assignment?
It's actually a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal.
It's a real big deal.
In Vegas,
yep,
Craig?
Yeah, it is. Yep, they do really well.
What are you talking about? Like, you're saying
the world,
like,
they party like rock stars, too, the curlers.
Oh, yeah.
They drink more than hockey players. Wasn't there something that happened a month ago?
Yeah, was it Cooey?
They got bombed and they've got kicked out of a tournament.
It was in Alberta, I think.
It was Cooey, not Kevin. Kevin's brother.
Yeah, his brother. Yeah, they
up
were
in Red Deer.
Really,
I used to cover that curling beat back in the day when I was in Brandon, worked in Brandon.
Oh, really? What did you do? Go up to somebody and say, "Hey, when you rolled that rock there in the fifth end, how did you spin? Like, what do you ask them?
Yeah, the long angle tap. I mean, that's a high percentage shot. Like, how do you, is that the first thing that came to mind, or did you guys huddle and talk about it?
I like it.
How's the ice?
Well, if you're into it, you're into it, right?
I actually called games on radio doing play-by-play of curling.
Wow. Yeah. Theater of the
mind. And Stoughton's got a rock at the 3 o'clock position just off the button.
Yeah, if you ever went,
so
Manitoba,
so tough.
Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, I mean, it's massive out there, but it's massive as part of the community, too. That's where people go to gather at the curling rink, and that's a big part of their social life.
I had an opportunity to go to Winnipeg to cover the Jets' work at what's now CTV Winnipeg, then it was CKY. And I was leaving Brandon, and there's a longtime curling broadcaster executive by the name of Resby Coots. He's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Resby, he might be in the Curling Hall of Fame. He tried to talk me out of taking this job because he thought it'd be career-limiting, me leaving the curling circles to get full-time into hockey.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. Good old Resby.
Where would you have been if you stayed in Brandon covering...
Yeah, I know where I'd be. I'd be selling real estate because when I got a job offer to go from Edmonton.
You want this farm?
Yeah, from Winnipeg.
There's two cows instead of one.
Dregs
from Winnipeg to Edmonton in 1997, and I hosted Oilers games in 97-98. I had written and had passed my real estate license, and I was moving back to Brandon because my wife was a school teacher there. I was giving it up. I was done. I was like, TV sucks. You don't make enough money. I was going to sell houses.
Look at you. And now you're a big TV shooter and shaker.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on?
I'm not sure how we got to this point.
Well, it's been a fun journey. You made it, buddy.
Resby Coots.
Good old Resby.
That's right.
You what a name, though. Hey?
Like, it's an awesome
honestly,
name.
If you guys ever went out to Manitoba, Saskatchewan, it is the passion for curling is unbelievable.
I just wish I had the opportunity to walk into a house. Welcome to the open house. I'm Darren Dreger. This is the master suite. This is the crapper. This is the bedroom. Everything.
Mm-hmm. We have the Frank Leo reads. There might be Darren Dreger reads.
Yeah.
That's true.
Andy Petrillo might be saying one day, go see Darren Dreger. He will get you a better price.
And if he can't sell the house, he'll buy it himself. what's up in the hot stove here, Dregs? This is busy time, right? This is when all the houses are potentially up for sale. Right. Where's your focus at right now, about a month out from the deadline? What a segue.
Well, honestly, it's probably on the pending unrestricted free agents right now and seeing whether or not like the Ottawa Senators can make headway with Mark Stone or Matt Duchene. Ryan Dzingel seems like the forgotten entity in there, and he's having a hell of a year. But, you got to find out, track the progress, because otherwise, they are going to hit the trade market. More Duchene likely for me than Mark Stone. So you watch that, and it's still pretty early, mid-January, but a lot of what we've seen this week, maybe the Rask Niederreiter trade aside, because that's not a bad hockey trade. Some of the tinkering that you saw Anaheim do earlier this week, that's more of what traditionally happens this week. And then the markets actually open up a little bit as you get late into January and jump into February and get ready for the deadline.
Do you think there's a situation where there's a ton of restricted free agents next year?
Yeah.
And Craig, are you not sniffing around to see what these numbers are? And
for sure you are.
Where do you start?
Aho in Carolina.
Yeah.
But
if you get a sniff that he wants a certain number that you're not willing to pay.
What? So you're saying maybe Carolina would trade him before the deadline?
No, I'm just wondering. There's a bunch of them that are high profile guys that are up. Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary, Braden Point, Aho. But Matthews Marner. Like, isn't there some situations where you got to look and say, I can't pay you that, so maybe you got to move on.
But the manager, what I would do as a manager, I'm like, okay, people are going to keep Aho and Rantanen and everybody like that.
Rantanen,
like,
there's another one.
But you know where I'm looking at? I'm looking at, like, would Michael Backlund be available? Just as an example, because they might have to free
relieve
up money.
Some pressure. Oh,
right.
Oh, yes.
That's where I'd be looking at the players. And Darren, I mean, you were there. I think you were the one that reported it. I mean, when Jeff Carter and Mike Richards got traded, that was big. Yeah. And that was, that was about trying to open up some room and everything. Yeah. And so Aho, those guys, teams aren't letting those guys go.
No other way. I mean, there's no other way but to do exactly the way you described, especially if you're the Calgary Flames. Yeah. I mean, there's only so much money to spend. Winnipeg, with Lion A and Kyle Connor and big pieces like that coming up, Shovel Layup's going to have to move out bodies. Yeah. And that doesn't include guys like Tyler Myers just walking away as free agents. I mean, he's going to have to move out a piece or pieces to keep those guys and get those guys signed. So, more and more, and Gord Miller is a believer in this, and I am to a degree, although we don't see it. But when you look at the class that we've already talked about, especially the restricted free agent guys, for owners not to encourage their managers to take a swing at one or two of these guys on offer sheets doesn't compute to me why you wouldn't. What do you got to lose? So you piss off Kyle Dubas by trying to offer sheet Marner or Matthews or...
Well, you don't have to say that, Darren. You could say somebody could offer sheet Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sick of people saying, what if they offer sheet the Toronto guys? Why can't somebody offer sheet Braden Point in Tampa?
Absolutely.
Well, you can.
You can.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. I just hate when they say Toronto guys. Do it to the Toronto guys. Well, there's a bunch of kids. What about Aho? They don't want to pay him. They don't want to pay anybody in Carolina. No. Offer sheet him.
I mean, Matthews makes sense because he's a potential superstar centerman. But, you're right. They don't want to pay Sebastian Aho. And they've got Michael Furland, who's a pending unrestricted free agent, who's going to, he's going to command, north of $5.5 million a year, probably. So... yeah, there's some interesting possibilities to get back to the trade scenarios. Most of them don't include the restricted free agents. That, takes over July 1st, or if not, before at the draft. But stuff will start to percolate. Like, the other thing, too, is you've got a guy like Rob Blake, and I'm not being critical of Blake, but, he wants a first-round pick and a top prospect for Jake Muzzin. Right now, that's the ask on Muzzin.
Does he have a year left on his deal? Or is he so he's got this year and next, Muzzin.
And you've got Tyler Toffoli, who's a quality winger. There's lots of teams looking for some help. You know, but the ask is so high right now. Maybe it changes when more players flood into the market and Blake's got to reassess because the interest isn't quite there. Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't. I mean, it all depends on supply and demand.
Well, I just want to just quickly add to that, too. Well, we saw with Evander Kane last year.
Yeah.
The ask, you know, was very different than what the actual get was, at depending on the time.
Right.
But
sure.
It turned out that the actual ask was probably appropriate for what he did when he got there. He never got that, but...
But it's the market that determines it, right?
Yeah.
And even though Jason Botterill established what the ask was, nobody was ready to pay it. And then ultimately he was left with the conditional first-round pick that turned into one. But
and then that's why, again, to go back to the Ottawa situation, you know, you guys are probably tired of talking about that already, but you almost don't have a choice because, you know, again, time is of the essence here. And... You know, Pierre Dorion's going to need to know sooner rather than later what Duchesne's intentions are. You got to generate a market for Matt Duchesne that is going, you know, he's going to be potentially a rental. Or do you allow Pratt Brisson to get involved very early in the process, give him permission so that you can now talk to teams who actually have the interest in signing him?
That would be a tough scene if he leaves and they have to give up that first pick and you got nothing to show for.
Well, that pick is done anyway. I mean, the pick's gone, right?
Like, you got to get a first back.
Colorado's got it.
Right?
Yeah, I would think so. But
I just wanted to ask just quickly about Ottawa again. How important is Eugene Melnyk to convince players? Because the agents are going to want to know. They don't want a revolving door there to be involved. I mean, Pierre Dorion's going to put his best foot forward with Stone and DeZingle and Duchesne. How important is it for them to feel that Eugene Melnyk is going to provide an opportunity for them to be successful?
I think there's a layer of that criteria. Who's coaching?
Yeah.
You know, you've got Guy Boucher. All of those guys don't have contracts next year. You know, if I'm Stone or Duchesne, I guess, does it really matter who the coach is? But to some guys, it does. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to know. They want to understand that. So, you know, you get the business side of things looked after. But, again, Stone and Duchesne are high-end players. They're going to get their term. They're going to get the money that they're comfortable with. So then, yeah, you start boiling it down. You know, you ask about the coach, you ask about the rebuild, all of that. How quick is this going to be? Are we always going to be a budget team? And then that's where you get in ownership, for sure.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider in studio. In terms of Ottawa, and I guess this would apply to any team that might be looking to either sign a guy or, you know, if they feel like they can't get it done before the deadline, trade him. Obviously, if you move on from the guy, that 8-year term isn't available. You can only give a 7-year term in July. But
why the trade scenario would be pushed by the agent.
Right. Yeah. But is it impossible to believe they could trade, let's say, Mark Stone and say, we'll be there on July 1st, and here's a 7-year deal at $10 million a year. We still want you, but we want the assets now, and then we'll still sign you in the summer. Is that out of the possibility?
It's not impossible because it's a vehicle that could be used. Tell me the last time it happened.
Doesn't happen often, I understand.
It's a gamble. I think that's a way of the general manager in the organization trying to appease his fan base. Well, why didn't the player want to sign? You know, what player wants to move twice? You know, and I mean, you're still moving, even if you're going somewhere as a rental. And in, you know, Matt Duchesne's case, as an example, I mean, now he's a new dad. I mean, he doesn't want to pick up and go through all the nonsense. Stone, to me, I'd be surprised if he doesn't stay in Ottawa. You know, the money's going to be there. The term is going to be there. You know, he's a born Ottawa Senator by hockey playing standards. You know, he's the captain of the team. I don't think there's any doubt of that. So, is he going to chase the dream somewhere else? Maybe, but I doubt it.
When you're in that situation, you got one crack at it. You gotta sniff around and see what situation you can put yourself in. One time, every team in the league has an opportunity.
Yeah, but that element of doubt has to be there for you to do it. You know, like Tavares, obviously it was in the back of his mind, I'm thinking of leaving. Like, if you love it there, what else are you looking for? You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
why hasn't he signed already?
Well, then? I don't know. I don't know what they're
offering.
All
these guys that always say it's business. We talked about it yesterday. It's business. It's the process. It's my first time through it.
Well, Duchesne is different. Stone's been there since the start. Like, all he knows is
Ottawa.
Last
year.
See, I'm with O on this, to be fair. Like, I can create an argument that makes sense for Mark Stone to stay. I mean, we just talked about maybe some of the reasons and the factors that enter into the equation why he wouldn't stay. But O is right. Ottawa wants to sign him. They've got the money to sign him. Why hasn't he agreed to a term yet? Or why hasn't he agreed to a deal?
The reasons why you don't stay is you sit in your dock in the summertime and you get a call. You want to play with Sidney Crosby for a couple years? You want to play with Connor McDavid? You want to play with Austin Matthews? You want to play with Jonathan Toews?
Well, yeah, if it's available.
That kind of gets my attention.
I hear you, but, you know,
whether those teams have the money or not, those are the kind of calls you're going to get.
You can, but I would say, you know, be careful with what you wish for, because that was Milan Lucic got a call. You want to play with Connor McDavid? How's that working out for him?
John Tavares was said in an office building in L.A. He said, you know what, you can play with Mitch Marner. You like that idea?
Yeah.
He's got 30 goals already.
It's worked out, because obviously he was thinking, I want to leave. Right. But I don't know, maybe Stone loves it. I don't know.
Yeah,
obviously,
Tavares thought he
wanted to go, and he did. You know.
Vegas.
There's a lot of teams, I'm sure, that would be enticing, but...
Jolly McCrimmon would do just about anything, I'm sure, to try and lure Mark Stone to Vegas.
There's a lunar eclipse coming this weekend. If he could get Mark Stone, he might try to shift that
so we can
see it.
Darren Dreger, our Hockey Insider in studio. As for the big three in the Atlantic, we know the Leafs would be focusing on a defenseman. We believe Boston would be looking for some help, probably on the wing, second line winger.
Yeah.
You know, Wayne Simmonds is coming up, maybe Mark Stone, who knows. What would Tampa be looking for? Like, they seem so balanced and so deep. What would Tampa be looking for?
It's going to sound crazy, but I think they'll take a swing at Wayne Simmonds.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, just to add that bite, and, you know, he hasn't been as impactful on the power play this season, but I think that's more to do with the changes that they've made to the power play. He's healthy for the first time in a long, long time. I don't know what it would take to make that deal, but I look at guys like that, and to a degree Michael Furland as well, as being hot commodities among the contending teams. So you don't think Mike Babcock would love to have one of those two guys up front to add a little bit more bite to his lineup? Now, priority is a right shot top three defenseman. So that's priority. Boston, for sure, would like to add that. So there you've got your three primary contenders in the East, and Winnipeg would love Wayne Simmonds. You know, Vegas, again, you've got the McCrimmon, the Michael Furland connection there if Simmonds isn't available at that point. Nashville is looking for a winger. So I think that power forward is a hot commodity for Chuck Fletcher and for Donnie Waddell.
Well, talk about Mike Babcock, too. I mean, how often have we heard him talk about heavy wingers? Well,
yeah.
I got Michael Furland and Wayne Simmonds fit the bill. And it's one thing to have priorities, but you can strengthen your team in other places, too. You don't have
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I watched Simmonds
the other night in that Boston game. I mean, that's a pretty good matchup.
Yeah. Simmonds is an outstanding player.
He was terrific in that game.
Where's he playing on the Leafs? Like, that's the thing. Like, they've Marner's playing ahead of him, clearly. They've invested in Nylander. Nylander, you would think, is playing ahead of him. Kapanen, are you going to knock him down? Where's Connor Brown going? I just don't see the right wing. That's the least of their worries in Toronto.
Connor Brown might have to be part of a deal like that.
Well, I fear that he's, you know, because I like him and he's the Toronto kid. I don't think you can pay a guy in the fourth line 2.1.
Right.
I just don't see that being viable in the future.
Yeah.
Whether it's the deadline or in the summer, I think at some point they're going to look at that. Just based on the way the economics of the game work, you need a fourth line where all of them are making under $1 million.
Yeah.
You need a fourth line, third pairing, backup goalie. They all, 13th forward, 7th defenseman, they all got to add up to like $7 million total for like 8 roster spots.
Yeah.
But to your point, Darren, too, just listen to all the teams you just mentioned that would be interested in Furland and Simmonds. That drives the price up.
Right.
So now when teams start saying, you know what, you better give us Connor Brown if you want him. They're not going to have a choice. It's either get him or give him up or get him. I'm not suggesting
that's
the deal.
Yeah.
Well, because there's too many teams chasing these guys. Yeah.
I love this Carolina team. They make this trade to change the culture or whatever, and now they're going to move both the guys they acquired?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Well, yeah.
They're technically in the race, though, right now.
They are. I actually talked to Tom Dunnan the other day, and it was specific to the future of Mike Furland and what they plan on doing there. And then, you know, he must have used the word playoff about 5 times in a 5-minute conversation. He is fixated on this team making the playoffs. And... You know, they do have some assets they can use on the back end. I mean, they're not moving Jacob Slavin, but, you know, they'll trade, or they'd consider trading Falk. Brett Pesce's name's been out there a long time. Dougie Hamilton, I don't know what's going on there, but man, his name just every year he's
yeah, exactly.
in trade speculation.
Yeah, at some point something clearly is being identified by these teams because Boston, Calgary, now Carolina. You know,
he might
puts
want
up
to look
numbers.
Up the hockey DB record of Brett Ashton, who got
yeah,
traded.
Yeah, number of trades.
Bit yep. of a suitcase.
Yep. Tony Hirkus, there was another yep. one. He went
traded
to
all
14
the time.
Different
yeah.
teams.
Yeah, that's...
We've talked a lot about St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a connection or a report a while ago, maybe Toronto should, they'll be going after Petrangelo or the Parayko speculations, all that. I mean... At the time, it made some sense, but I'm telling you right now, the way the Blues are going, they've flipped it a little bit here, right? And now the sense I'm getting, I'm not saying that no one is getting traded out of St. Louis, but I think they're now wanting to add.
Really?
You know, they feel like they're...
Well,
they've turned it a little bit. And
nobody wants to make the playoffs in the West in the wild card spots.
It's nuts.
Like and that third spot in the Central, which is the division they're
right,
in.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's three spots for them. Like that's the thing. Edmonton and Vancouver, and Anaheim, they got two. Like those teams in the Pacific, you're not catching Calgary, San Jose, or Vegas. It's gone. But in the Central, Winnipeg and Nashville are gone. But the third spot is up for grabs too. So you got three spots.
If
you could
those
potentially
heavier teams
catch.
Wake up, Edmonton and Vancouver don't have a chance.
I don't see it either.
They're not in that category. No. But.
Craig, what do you say to your coach if you lost 12 games in a row?
Well, they finally won last night. What a win by Anaheim.
What do you say to your coach?
With goaltending, that has been really good.
I can only tell you this, okay? You go back to the beginning of the year, they would have 10 less wins if it wasn't for John Gibson. He's been lights out good. You know what? Like, you look at the injuries and everything.
No, but I mean, it gets around like 9 or 10. Like, are you saying, can I talk to you for a second? Like, I don't know. What kind of talks are you having?
You know what? Honestly, Jeff, what you're trying to do is trying to find solutions. Honestly, at that point in time, you really are trying. Because the coach is really looking for solutions. And you're thinking as a manager, okay, I'm going to try to help him find solutions. And you're thinking in your mind, my solution might be a different coach.
He's stubborn as they get to
Bob
Murray.
He is.
He's looking at the players. This is on you.
Yeah. Oh, he just hates his own players. I love that kind of situation.
We're going to get back into this tomorrow.
No, we're not in tomorrow, on Monday. But Dregs, good seeing you, man.
Monday.
Craig, thanks for stepping in, buddy.
Thanks for reminding him that he doesn't have to come in tomorrow.
Yeah, you don't have to be in here tomorrow.
Thank God.
Noodles will be back with his Vegas proposal on Monday.
Oh.
That's big, big news. Big, big material coming up. Good stuff, boys. Quickly, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine.
You always got to get into the best bets.
I'm on New Orleans. I'm laying the points, and I'm taking New England. I'm going to take the points in Kansas City. Throw down 20. You can score 40. You can find my picks on Twitter. At TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
We're going to break everything down on Monday.
At 4 p.m. How many steps for me on Sunday? What's the
Less
total?
Less than 10.
No, come on. Be
Less
reasonable.
Than 40.
All right, 39 and a half is the total. We'll
39
take it
and a half steps?
Under the number.
Under the number.
Yeah,
I was going to set the over.
They're gone. They're in Florida for the
weekend. I was going to set it at 100.
So I'm home free.
Yeah, that's
gonna
reasonable.
Say 99 and a half is the total.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going under.
You're under the number?
Under the number.
Dregs?
Under.
Go to the hospital.
Four unders. We're all under the number. We're out of here. Leafs up next. We're back Monday at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.